back in on Canuck Central. Satyar Shah, Bick Nizar, Sportsnet 650. R. Ash on the board. It's a very 80s-like music. I like it. It's good.
We cut it hard, though. Yeah. Died faster than the 80s music trend.
You guys have no idea. I spent half that break looking up Irish rock. How far could we keep the Boston bit going?
Yeah, was that the Boston song? Boston. Yeah. Well, and also, this hour of Canuck Central is also brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Fast lunch doesn't have to mean fast food. Satisfy your midday cravings by choosing a main side and a drink for only $15, served in 20 minutes or less. Said Boston properly this time.
There you go.
Yeah. See? I learned.
Competing.
Oh, so we got this text from somebody saying, Drance was taking a shot at Sat and Reach. Are you cowards going to respond? I haven't listened to it. I think it's about the Benson. We saw Drance before the show, yeah. And he kind of gave us a Cole's notes on how he disagreed with our take about Zach Benson having less trade value than Tom Bylander. I still think Tom Bylander has more value. Drance thinks that the high end of Benson's value is better. And, you know, Benson's had 2 good years. Like, you know, as an 18, 19-year-old, like we talked about all positive.
Very few players have success as an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it is very... And also, like, very few players get the opportunity to even try.
Yeah.
I want to say it's like 3 a year, basically.
Exactly. And so Drance's point was, guys that do the things he does... often go on a Hall of Fame trajectory, and teams that see value in this are going to value him very high. But we went back and forth a little bit, and I still say, well, generally right-hand defensemen still with size and even those that have some offensive limitations are valued across the league. They're the scarcest asset. And he agreed that maybe more teams would value Bylander, but thinks the peak of Benson's value is higher. So I think we ended it with, like, we can both be right in our assertions, which is kind of boring, but whatever. So that was our discussion off air. What happened?
Fight to the death. Come on.
Not really a fight. I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of like in my off-season mode now. So I'm like, I'm not quite as feisty.
Pacing yourself.
I'm chill for now. There might be
this guy's on the Elias Pettersson training plan here. It's like, oh, I'll worry about it later.
I'm just saying, things to be outraged about. We're not quite there yet.
Sure.
And I think Drance's take that Benson has more value than Bylander is overrated. And with that, let's get to overrated, underrated. All right, so who's doing the questions? Josh is not connected at home?
No, Josh is absolutely not connected at home.
There you go.
He left me with the podcast.
He left us.
Our logger broke.
See, when I work from home, I actually work from home.
Josh is actually doing right now?
He's staring in the mirror. He's like, I made a mistake.
Is he going to text us again? We'll see.
Jeez. Probably another one of those.
We love Josh here.
Yeah.
I think. Right? Yeah, we do. Yeah. All right. Overrated, underrated from Ryan. The potential practice facility options, Rosemary Brown and Britannia.
I mean, practice facility options, probably a bit overrated, the options, because like you're talking about, you know, one is a little far and the other one needs a lot of work. So it's going to take some time. So
and I'd yet at the overrated. Same time, yeah. I want to say underrated. It's like, oh, a practice facility. It's like something you haven't had. It is there. It's like, oh, that'd be nice. But man, that one is kind of far. Yeah. And that's like optimal driving conditions. It's like you hit every green. It's like, oh, you know, we got here kind of quick. One thing goes wrong. How long is it going to take you to get there?
Well, it's like the length between UBC from like Rogers to UBC and Rogers to Rosemary Brown, about 30 minutes, same each way.
Yeah.
But if it snows in Burnaby.
If one thing goes wrong on that road to UBC, it's like you're in for a bit of a wait.
That's kind of life in Vancouver, though, right? Like, if one thing goes wrong on any major road, you're kind of screwed.
It's kind of the problems of, like, not having diverse driving options here, right? It's like,
Well, and I will say, like, in general, too, most practice facilities are at least 20, 30 minutes away from the main rink for most teams, because the facilities are usually in more suburban areas or, you know, calmer areas, so to speak. You see this in a lot of sports too. Like, I'm a Chelsea fan, for instance, right? Cobham is like 40 minutes outside of Stamford Bridge. But a lot of players live near that area because they know that's where they've trained mostly. So the question comes down to, where are you going to spend most of your time? Is it going to be at Rogers or is it going to be at the practice facility? If it's going to be Rogers, they'll still be closer to Rogers Arena than they would the practice facility. But it's positive that they're doing the work, I suppose. They're being seen out and about at these places.
All right, there's going to be a pattern being created here. Austin and Langley, the commute from Vancouver to New West.
I think I'm legally obligated to say underrated. Just like any commute outside of Vancouver, I don't know if the suburb people can say it's overrated.
Yeah. Well,
it's not that far, folks.
No, it's not about being far. It's the traffic that's a pain in the butt.
No, I know.
And it's a construction halfway across. I mean, if you just take a train, it's not so bad half the time.
It's underrated.
Yeah.
All right, Logan, driving 25 to 30 minutes for work. Josh wrote these back to back to back, so we're just going down.
I'll say underrated, but it's. I don't want to like cater to athletes here and be like, oh, I just drive 25, 30 minutes to work. But like the whole point of like the practice facility and leaning into the bit of like make things easier for athletes to go perform at their best. It's like you're trying to make it as easy as possible. I know it doesn't. It's like, what do you mean? Just drive 30 minutes to work. It's not a big deal. It's like it being far out of town is a big deal.
Yeah.
In the context of athletes.
It is, but at the same time, I think, you know, 30 minutes is fine. Like, it's okay. Like, I think being, you know, driving 30 minutes or so, it's like, I don't think that's out of the ordinary for people.
It's one seg of a podcast.
Yeah.
You listen to one seg of a podcast going in, other half out, you're home.
I know, and it's not like...
You know what? So drive longer. Nobody should live in the cities. Everyone should have to listen to multiple podcasts on the way in. By the way, go subscribe to Alfred and Brough, Canucks Talk, Canucks Central, and also The People Show.
Subscribe, rate, and review. Yeah. Yeah. 5 stars.
Not while you're driving, though.
Yes.
All right. Basketball, Phil. Breezewa's contributions to the Canucks since being drafted in 2015.
Can you repeat that again?
So, Breezewa's contributions to the Canucks since being drafted in 2015.
Contributions?
Like, what like are we talking about? 30
here.
Games?
Being here? I mean,
somehow surviving the Benning era and literally...
Organization.
Organizational depth and value.
I'll just say overall underrated. I actually just like that there's been never any drama about Jon Breezewa. I've made this
how
point multiple times.
How can there be any drama around Jon Breezewa?
But how many times have we talked about, like, oh, a third-round pick, like, wants more playing time?
Oh, right.
All those things. Never has happened. Just kind of gone about his business. 27, 28 years old now. Again, he hasn't played a lot of NHL games, but he's been available. Yeah. But yeah, I'll say underrated. Right. He's still a third-round pick. Like it's tough to make the show, man.
It is. It's really difficult. Sure. And from that perspective, underrated, sure.
I can take whatever perspective I want.
good for you for having boundaries, Bick. Well done. Andre, Sammy Blais, overrated and underrated.
No other context. We're just saying Sammy
Blais. It's Andre next, Sammy Blais.
Okay, so what he's done in the playoffs, I suppose, underrated. He's got like 70 playoff penalty minutes as well, right?
Yeah.
Like throwing the body like crazy. He's like the Kiefer Sherwood of the AHL this year in the playoffs right now. So a lot of credit to him, what he's done, but overall, overrated.
I'm all for rewarding people for doing what they've done at one level and saying like, hey, we can do this. But like, what is the fit in the organization at the NHL level for Sammy Blais?
I mean, I would assume somewhere on the fourth line energy guy.
You know what they have a ton of? Literally that. It's like they got a ton of that. They need the other pieces to go with it. Like, I'd be all for giving them a contract and maybe you have to figure out like a two-way deal or something like that. But they've got O'Connor, Joshua, Hoglander, Linus Karlsson, Sherwood, Connor Garland. That's 6 guys we're talking about for 4 spots already.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the wings. So, like, where do you actually integrate him into the lineup? That's my only concern.
Fair enough. Andrew, Atu Ratu becoming a 3C next season.
Probably overrated.
I will say underrated.
3C?
Not to begin the season.
But become by the end of the year?
Yeah, the way it's worded, it says right. Becoming a 3 season next season.
All right.
I will say underrated.
Like he goes through like 40, 50 games and then he just finds, you know, after post-Christmas.
He's going to have to work on the speed. And honestly, not even the speed, just like the burst.
Yeah.
If he comes into October and we're like, you know what, there's something, a little bit of improvement there. I think when we started looking at this over the course of the season, we're like, are we sure Bluger should be getting more minutes than Ratu?
Yeah, maybe that's by default to some extent. I just have a hard time projecting a guy to go from not an everyday NHL player to skip past the fourth line and just become a third line guy at some point. But you're talking about at some point
by
this
February.
Season, right?
Yeah.
I'll say overrated, but I like him as a fourth line player. I like his potential over time. Mm-hmm. I think he can get to the third line. I think next year might be too soon.
We need some skill, please. We just need some skill at this
somebody
point.
Somebody, please,
we're,
develop.
We're talking about Sammy Blay and, like, out of six guys. Like, is there any juice here? Anything?
Yeah. Nobody's asking about Nate Smith, how he's been doing?
Tristan, Martin H. is playing as a centerman.
Overrated. I know we talked about it, like, it's a big projection.
Yeah, it's overrated.
But it's exactly what we're talking about with Filipino. It's like, yeah, Filipino can play center, but you also have to be good at all the things a center is supposed to do.
Yeah, no doubt. And I like, but the thing, but Natchez is, like, significantly more consistent than Hedl.
As far as, like, offensive production.
Yeah, goes. Yeah. And how he tilts play, too.
But, like, Hedl, yeah. You watch him in the defensive zone.
Oh, he's a...
He's a wanderer.
So is Natchez.
He's a wanderer.
Yeah, he wanders around. So it's around.
Like... Yeah, okay, you can win. Maybe you can win faceoffs, and it's like, oh, we can get you the puck in the middle of the ice. You still have to spend some time in the defensive zone. And Hedl, he just YOLOs.
Yeah.
In the defensive zone.
Yeah.
And like that's why I got a ton of concern over what that looks like if he's coming back as your 2C, because a lot of growth needs to be shown in the defensive zone for Hedl. And Nate just is the same thing. It's like, yeah, okay, he can play center. He's done some faceoff work. I think there was a season where they tried to make him a full-time center, but then functionally it's like he's not in the right spots a lot of times.
All right, unsigned Sarah Nurse reportedly signing with PWHL Vancouver. Mm-hmm.
Let's go. Yeah, first one on the board.
It's reportedly
Haley Salvian reporting that we'll be signing with the PWHL Vancouver team, which would be huge. You're getting a star like an actual star that people know about, that you can sell in front of fans as well, that people, that even casual hockey fans know who Sarah Nurse is. That's a huge addition for an expansion franchise. Massive. So
good,
underrated. Huge underrated move.
The free age, or the expansion process already going better than Seattle. Seattle Kraken, not right. PWHL.
Yes.
Ron Francis comes out and he's like, they changed the rules. Not fair.
So the rest of the teams got really smart.
Redo.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mike, the CN Tower lighting up blue and orange for the Oilers.
Yeah, overrated.
CN Tower?
What is this desire to, like, declare Canada's team every single time?
I don't get it.
No, you don't, like, get it?
I get it.
How do you
no,
not get it?
I get it. I don't understand why people have this, like, need to want to do it.
Because people that are... There are a lot of Canadian hockey fans that just want to see a Canadian team win a Stanley Cup.
It's as simple as that.
There's... I know, like, you guys look very confused. It's as simple as that.
But, like, people that are super passionate about their hockey team want to see their biggest rivals... and friends, like, win a Stanley Cup.
Are the Oilers the biggest rivals of the Leafs?
But you're the people you're most likely to interact with about your biggest...
If you're a Leafs fan, do you hate the Oilers more or the Panthers more?
Who are you more likely to run into? Oilers fans or Panthers fans?
Boy, obviously Oilers fans.
Well, that's the thing. It's like,
I don't know.
You're trying to support this thing, and it's going to be miserable for you.
I know. And listen, I'm not sitting here saying, go rah-rah Oilers. All I'm saying is, like, I understand why a lot of Canadians want to see a Canadian team win, and they're not as tribal as a lot of sports fans are. They're like, yeah, like, I dislike that team, but now it's like, yeah, whatever. It'll be fun to see them win a game. Like, not everybody's super tribal about things.
But everyone is super tribal with things. It's like,
but not always, but not everybody. You know, a lot of casual hockey fans, you know, they're just like, yeah.
I just love being miserable.
That's what hardcore fans are. You're a miserable bunch because you sit there and obsess over your teams, and the hurt is always worse than the winning. Like, winning's a relief when you're a sports fan. You're not even happy. You're just like, they didn't lose. You just feel happy that they didn't lose the game. But losing, like, drags you down. And if you had a few bad years, like, it makes you a different person in many ways.
You know what, Seth? You're 100% right. I think what we should do is go down to the steam clock and make the steam clock shoot out blue and orange steam.
People would be furious.
Let's do it.
Like, I'm not saying you should do it. I'm just saying I understand why a lot of Canadians want to see the Canadian team win, especially right now with all the, you know, tensions with the U.S. and Canada and the whole Trump stuff. So
we had an international tournament
to be part of that.
I know.
And we united, and it was awesome.
We united for like a couple weeks. Yeah. Now we got to go back to being haters. That's the deal.
It's just like... It's just seven franchises, guys. That's it.
I know, and it's been 32 years.
Don't try to co-opt somebody else's victory as your own.
Do we do this thing where we cope, where we're like, okay, well, there's no Canadian teams in the final, So now we're going to look at the two American teams, and whichever American team has more Canadians on it, that's the one we're cheering for. Like, what are we doing?
Your team's out. Stop trying to find victories everywhere in life. Just like, your team's out. Deal with the ramifications of that.
Yeah.
And also, like,
but there are a lot of people that are just like,
don't get it.
That are just like hockey fans. Like, they're not like super passionate about one team, but they just love hockey and they want to see a Canadian team. Like, it's not very confusing. I know like hardcore hockey fans get really confused by this.
We're getting this text here from New West Pat. So not everyone in Canada lives in an NHL city.
Yes.
Okay, but you support a team.
Yeah. Well,
so again, like, there's Toronto Maple Leafs fans that live in Sudbury and in whatever part of in Ontario. So it's like, I don't need to see another Canadian team win. I only want my team to win.
Yeah, sure. But like, I don't think everybody feels, I don't think that's a universal feeling that you guys should be so surprised others don't share. Like, how many people do you know that are like NFL fans who don't have a real NFL team, but they watch NFL every week? I know a lot of people that are like, right?
But you're saying they don't have any team. If you support a team, you support
all
the one team.
Conditionals. Like, the CN Tower doesn't have a team. It's a tower.
But it's in a city. Like, I don't get it.
This is a good run. Well done, gentlemen. Let's see. Mike the Urologist. Canadian Derek Guy coming in fourth in the Giro d'Italia last weekend.
Underrated?
Man.
Dude, dog.
Hats off to Mike the Urologist, man. Yeah. You got me. I'll just underrated.
Underrated. That's
you know
all
what?
I got.
Go Canada, go. There we go. For stuff like this, we can all unite.
Yes.
Justin and East.
I'm assuming this is a cycling event?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
There you go. Underrated.
Justin and East Van, loyalty stamp cards.
Loyalty stamp cards?
Yeah, so do you know this? Like, if you go to, like, I don't know, Ernest or something, or one of the ice cream places, they'll stamp it.
Yeah, I mean, they're underrated if you go somewhere a lot and you actually don't lose them, because you'll get, like, a free one.
I'm going to say overrated, because you're likely to just lose them.
But, like, if you can do a stamp card, like, on an app, and you just, like, tap.
That's underrated.
That's how you should do it. That would be easier. But, like, paper, like, who carries paper? Like,
how often do you carry cash, even? Like, let alone a stamp card.
Well, if I have my wallet, I always have cash in my wallet. You know, just, you know.
Always have an emergency
Always have cash.
An emergency 20 can get you a long way.
Yeah, you gotta have cash. There's still, like, you know, who knows what can happen, right?
I'll say overrated. Unless it's on an app.
Yeah, I mean, underrated as long as you don't lose them. Because I remember back in the day, like, you know, when we collected them. A certain place. I remember Subway had them, I think, back in the day. And I got many of free 6-inch subs because of it.
All right. We've kind of went onto the end of this list, so I'm just going to throw something out there for you guys. Okay, overrated, underrated for me. Good Will Hunting.
You're going to say overrated, aren't you? He's about to say overrated.
I'm just saying.
Out of nowhere.
No, out of nowhere. I'm just, because I was thinking about Boston a lot. I just think about this movie where, like, have you heard the bit? I don't know who did the bit. I think it might have been Louis C.K. where he talks about Matt Damon is like, you know, this is a movie where a guy's like, yeah, he's a janitor, but he's a genius. And then he goes and everyone's like, yeah, you're so smart. And it's, I just don't know. I just don't know about Good Will Hunting.
You
know,
I think it's deeply really underrated.
Yeah,
deeply underrated.
Is it underrated? I'm not even sure it is. I mean, from my generation,
it might be perfectly rated because
it
obviously
my generation, it was like the movie everybody talked about.
Rose
like,
to acclaim. Yeah,
yeah, it was.
I'll say perfectly rated.
It made Matt Damon and what's the other guy's name again?
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck made
that was a peak Ben Affleck experience.
Ben Affleck made Argo. You have to know it's the one Persian movie that it, you know we got to know.
Trust me, I know. Trust me, I've watched Argo many times.
My favorite bit about Argo, sorry, because we got a phone time. Favorite bit about Argo, watching it with my dad, and at one point my dad's like, "They're in Iran. Why are they playing Arabic music?
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Singing Arabic."
Yeah, I was like, "What is?" Anytime I see stuff like that, it's like that. There's that show Tehran, and the main actress is like is Arabic and has a very thick Persian accent. It's very hard for me to take it seriously. It's a good show, but I'm like, you're not authentic. It's hard to take it seriously.
If I'm not mistaken, so I'm gonna go back to Good Will Hunting. I believe like the original writing of the script was like they wanted it to be like a total dude movie, and when they were selling the script, the producers or not our studios
yeah
were like, no, the story needs to go in this direction, like that's the movie. And then they had to like rework it to like get it to a stage.
That worked out. Have you guys seen Sinners?
I've been meaning to. I think it's out of theaters pretty soon.
Yeah, someone said overrated, underrated. I ended up seeing it on a random day. It wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. It was good, but like I thought it was maybe overhyped a little bit. Like people said, that's best movie ever.
That's one of the problems. I haven't seen it yet, but that is one of the fundamental problems in our society.
It's like the best movie ever.
Dude, it's like in your mind, you're like, oh man, this is going to be good. It's like, yeah, that was an 8.
Yeah, exactly. 8's good, but I'm not, you know, I'm not going to go sit at home and
overrated, think about it for like underrated. 2 weeks. 8. And I don't mean like the number. I mean 8 out of 10. I feel like that's like just a solid 8 out of 10.
That's no,
like,
it's good. 8's good.
I feel like people just like need their minds blown every single time they go see
I'm
something.
I'm with you. Exactly. If I go to a movie and spend money, I want it to be an 8. 7 I can live with. Anything less than 7 is like I'm not happy about.
What's your I know we're running up against it, but what's your favorite like 6 out of 10 movie that you watch all the time? Like constantly over and over again.
Oh, like Battle of Los Angeles.
Okay,
stuff
sick.
Like that.
Perfect.
Yeah, something stupid like that.
Like there's a bunch of like Guy Ritchie movies that I don't know if people would be like, oh, that's a definite 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Like Rock and Roll.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah.
The Gentleman is kind of mine where I'm like,
I think all those are like excellent, excellent movies.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it's not his best, but I'm like, you know what? I'll put it on. It's
Guy
like,
Ritchie's my guy, man.
They're entertaining. Yeah. Somebody's asking, Seeing Sat Shop at No Frills, overrated and underrated.
Were you at No Frills?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Why wouldn't you go? I mean, No Frills has better prices than a lot of stuff. What am I supposed to do?
Clearly, it's underrated.
You think we're wearing gaiters on our shoes right now? We're walking around just in chrome?
I'm just saying, like, I can buy the almond milk from No Frills like $3 cheaper than I would at some other places. So why not just go there and buy it?
Almond milk?
Almond milk.
Yeah.
I'm not lactose, but I don't really do dairy. It's not my thing. It's not great for me. So I drink almond milk. So like, you know, you go buy almond milk somewhere. It's like $7 for the 2 liter carton. It's like $4 when I go there.
I think this is really great. Like three men talking about health stuff.
Yeah. Stuff like that.
Breaking the stigma.
Yeah. I mean, there's certain things, you know, why pay more for them if you don't have to, right? Yeah. Especially if it's like, it's right there.
I'm trying to make like a, what is the dairy version of a second line center in the league right now?
Who are the Canucks acquiring? All right.
Is Claude Giroux oat milk or almond milk?
Elias Patterson's literally on the milk carton.
Yeah, you know, we'll leave on that note. Thanks for all your submissions to Overrated, Underrated, and guests on Sports and 650. Call in on the hotline powered by Power West Industries. Don't get caught in the dark when it matters most. Visit them at powerwest.ca today. Keep the lights on, and we'll get on the hotline with Kevin Woodley. That is next on Canuck Central.